And now I'm joined in the studio by Eric Strouts. He's here to talk about his upcoming collaboration with the University of Adelaide Theatre Guild, which is a production of Myth, Propaganda and Disaster in Nazi Germany and Contemporary America. A catchy, succinct title, but an evocative one as well, written, of course, by Stephen Sewell. Eric, thanks so much for coming in this morning.
Lisa, hi. Good to be here.
Great. Thank you. Well, I first wanted to ask you about just your reading through your bio. What struck me is that the many various roles that you've played in terms of making theatre.
Yes.
Do you think it's important to have, no matter which role you end up performing in whichever production, do you think it's important that you have a holistic understanding of just how many elements go into a production?
There's certainly two schools of thoughts. I mean, I find it very handy to have a good overall understanding of what my creatives can do on what is possible.
Mm.
And it's so much easier to understand what is possible if you've sort of dabbled in it yourself. I like giving my other creatives that I work with a fair bit of scope.
Mm.
But it's nice to understand what is possible. And there's nothing worse than a director that wants the world and the budget just won't allow it.
Yeah.
So, I think it's certainly a benefit.
Yeah. I'd agree. I'm an actor, and during my training in our first year at Drama Centre at Flinders, we were made to tech other shows and stuff, so lighting and sound, just to have that understanding as well, I think. Yeah, mm. I agree. So you're working with the Adelaide Uni Theatre Guild on Myth, Propaganda and Disaster in Nazi Germany and Contemporary America. What drew you into this project?
I've always been interested in world affairs, and I think this is a bit of a wake-up call. It's a bit of an attempt to get people to just stop and think about what's going on around us. And it is one role of theatre. It is a meaning of life play. There's no doubt about it. It's potentially controversial.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's one of the roles of theatre. I'm an all-rounder. I mean, the last play I directed was a Christmas family gathering, and it was just a vehicle for one-liners.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful family show that you could bring your kids and your auntie to.
Yeah.
And you went away from it, and I think the most cerebral thing you might have taken away from that, well, wasn't that character just like Auntie Joan, but that was about it.
Yeah.
This is the opposite end of the spectrum of theatre and what we try and present to the public and what we try and give them. It's to make you think. It's to make you just stop and say, what is going on in the world around us?
Yeah. Well, it caused shockwaves when it did initially premiere in 2003, because it is it's a commentary on the war on terror. And of course, the kind of fear mongering that goes on around that and the manipulation of the masses, you know, with the propaganda and myth. And now we're living in a world of Trump, the Trump era, where we're in fake news, post-truth world as well. Do you think this play and the themes that it tackles does have contemporary relevance?
Of course it does.
Yeah. I say, I'm asking the question, hoping that maybe things have changed, but no, yes.
I think it's, we are presenting it as a period piece. I mean, it is clearly set in 2004, 2005,
right.
In an alternate America. And it was Stephen Sewell was predicting where America might take the reaction to 9/11.
Yeah.
And at the time, it was seen as unnecessarily pessimistic and unrealistic.
Mm.
This would never happen. America would never go down this path.
Yep.
15 years later, it's amazing.
Mm.
And it is not just a commentary on America. I mean, it's easy to just say, to quote the T word. I think Stephen Sewell very much in this play says, look, it's these people like Trump and all of those other sort of people around history, around political history, have only done so with the permission of the nation.
Yeah.
So it is a reflection on social thought. It's a reflection on where the nation's going.
Mm.
And Stephen Sewell very much says, look, if America doesn't handle its terror and its fear of what's going on, if it doesn't manage that properly, if it just reacts emotionally,
yep,
it can lead to some quite interesting consequences, shall we say?
Yes, yes, of course. And even with the title of his work, I mean, he is making the point that, you know, history has a habit of repeating itself as well. So it's that awareness and that consciousness of that, and being aware of the manipulation that's going on and its consequences. I think it's very important. So, what kind of structure does the show take in order to look at these?
We looked at it various ways of how we could stage it, and there's some. I've decided to spin it as a nightmare, because the events are exaggerated; they're unreal. It's a nightmare. I mean, if you use the technical term surreal, I mean surreal is dreamlike.
Yep.
So that's where we're pitching it. The main protagonist is an Australian academic working in America, as a lecturer in a major Ivy League university in America, and he writes a paper called "Myth, Propaganda, and Disaster in Nazi Germany, Contemporary America." And people might wonder about the title. If anybody's got any familiarity with academia, you'll find that most of their papers have these long and convoluted titles.
Yes.
So that's the name of a paper that he has written, and that brings him to the attention of the system.
Mm-hmm.
The system doesn't like what he's preaching. There's a wonderful quote from the head of the department. Talbot is the protagonist is a liberal arts professor teaching politics.
Yeah.
And his head of the department accuses him of teaching Marxist theories as part of the course. And the head of the department, Jack, says, quote, "Mark is a discredited thinker. We don't teach discredited thinkers in my department."
So the power of labels and and the corrupted
power. The other thing it visits quite, and I'm really proud of the Adelaide University for taking this on and underwriting this play, because they had lots of choices from what was offered to them by myself and other directors.
Yep.
The play really does question the role of universities as well. It really probes the issue of, I mean, is it the role of universities to teach its students what to think or how to think? So, and in this case, in Talbot's department situation, his boss is saying, you're not there to teach them how to think. We teach them what to think, and Marxism is one of the things that we teach them.
Yeah, wow. No, it sounds fascinating. And how is the production coming together? Because you've got a bit of time. It's next month that
we open in 4 weeks from tonight. But who's counting the days?
Oh no, no one. I don't know who you're talking about. How's it going? How's it been working with the ensemble?
We still got a lot of work to do.
Yep.
But we rehearse for about 8 to 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Our first couple of weeks are more just analysing the roles and the play and figuring out how we're going to pitch it. The next probably 4 weeks are just fleshing out the physicality of the play.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last 4 weeks are working on the finesses and the fine points and the fine polish. So that's where we're at that stage where we're just starting the real work.
Yeah, of course, of course. And is there an overall feeling that you're hoping to evoke in audiences that do come to this?
It's not a very positive play. It's not a very hopeful play. It certainly doesn't have it doesn't have a happy ending. One of the structures that we found interesting looking at the play was when we started analysing, it's got 10 characters, and there's very clearly, when you start looking at it, there is a system that's happening in America at the time. Four of these characters are clearly believers.
Yeah.
They are looking after number one. They are looking after their future. They are looking after themselves. They believe in the system.
Yeah.
Talbot and his wife and one of his students question this, so they are the opposition.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of people in the middle, and one of my favourite characters is Max, who's very pragmatic. I mean, he eventually puts on the clothes of the believers, but he knows what he's doing.
Mm.
I mean, the other believers just are brainwashed.
Yeah.
Talbot and his friends are really questioning. Max can see both sides, and he says, "Look, I've got to stay alive. I need to survive. I'll just play both sides." I like that character.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm really keen to see it because I I do live, I do know this world of academia well, having done my PhD, and I was looking at World War II in France particularly, and that kind of binary, the binaries that occur between, you know, resistance and collaboration. And of course that happens in Nazi Germany when you have a dominating force, and whether you conform to that or
Hermann,
not. And
Hermann Göring once said that all you have to do is to retain power, all you have to do to retain power is to tell people that you are protecting them.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. Oh, what a good, I mean, depressing, but good thought to end that on. Eric, thanks so much for your time this morning. It like I say, it sounds like a great thought provoking production, and yeah, good on Adelaide Uni for doing it, and you as well for putting it forward as well. So I wish you all the best with it. That's next month at the Little Theatre at Adelaide Uni Theatre Guide. You can head to Try Booking to get your tickets as well,
or on the Guild's website,
or on the Guild's website as well.
Just googling for University Theatre Guild.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Lisa.